saw an ad in the paper that said improve your personality. So I went to see the man, and he told me my personality was okay, but my name was my problem. I said to him, my name? Well, how could a name be a problem? Well, even William Shakespeare said, what's in a name? He said, who? I said, William Shakespeare. He said, look, you want to listen to me, you want to listen to your friends.
What's happening, my beautiful people? Welcome back to another episode of What's in a Name. And this is your man, Bill. Long time no see, and we are back in black. Today, we're just going to just get our mind off what's going on in the real world. Just haven't done an episode in a couple weeks just because, man, I just haven't... We all should be feeling not happy right now. It's just, I've just been numb and angry and, you know... Just trying to understand more, you know? It's just a crazy time. We got a pandemic and then all this other shit happens. But I've just had no will to do it for 2 weeks. And there'll be no interviews this week as well. No one wants to talk about their story right now or promote any albums or movies. Everyone just wants to promote unity. So we're going to talk about a few other things that are going on in the world right now. And, you know, and the lack of stuff that's going on. It's beautiful outside. You know what I'd love to see right now is a concert. And I miss them so much. You know, I've had this one concert that's actually been rescheduled twice already from this summer to October. They had it still going until like July 17th until the other day. But now it's pushed to like November. So I'm missing concerts, man. You know, like it's just an essential part of the summer, essential part of life, you know, just getting out there and letting loose. You know, like I've just been thinking about some of the good ones that I've been to from, you know, Page and Plant 98 at the Fleet Center, it was still called at the time. It sounded like an old man saying that. But then there was the WBCN River Rave a couple of years after that in the 2000 at the old Foxborough Stadium before it was Gillette. Right before they tore it down, there was like Dropkick Murphys, Coldplay, Marilyn Manson. Well, I wasn't there for Marilyn Manson, but I'm just saying. And then Aerosmith, just it was an eclectic mix of who's who, just like, whoa. But that was a good concert. They had like a rotating stage, so you never had to wait for any like any acts in between. That was a gold. That was a golden show. And then you know, there's some concerts I even traveled to. I remember me and Jesse, my buddy Jesse, even. You know, my good buddy Jesse, we went to New York for Rock the Bells in 2007. And I felt bad because he had just turned 21 and I was like 20 for a few more months. So we couldn't go to the bars, but, you know, we hit the city as much as we could. And Rock the Bells, man, that crowd was insane. I mean, that whole lineup was insane. It was for everyone from Rage Against the Machine, Wu-Tang Clan headlined it. It was like a big hip-hop concert. So it was like Cypress Hill, Public Enemy, and that's all I really can remember from that day. It was 2007. But, you know, then a few years later, we saw Wu-Tang actually in Killington, Vermont at this place called the Pickle Barrel. And I honestly think their capacity is about 500, 600 people. So, you know, I'll see the Wu-Tang Clan, 40,000 people or 600 people. It doesn't matter. You know, I just wish I could see them now. And then there's Gangstar. That was a good one. That was back in 2003 in Worcester. He had Common and Talib Kweli. Well, they had Common and Talib Kweli. And that was one of the best hip-hop shows I've ever been to in my life. I had a broken leg, and I was able to sit in the back, wherever the sound guy was, so I got a good bird's-eye view and a little special treatment. But, you know, there are some bad concerts, too. I remember going to a Bob Dylan concert, walking in very excited to see it, and then by the fifth song, and I listen to a lot of hip-hop. I can understand some mumbling or whatever, but I could not understand a damn word Bob Dylan was saying, so... I just had to regrettably walk out about the fifth or sixth song in, because this was just, it was just like a distorted mic with some music. It was just miserable. I felt it was depressing. And then, I just miss being young, going to clubs at night, you know. I don't know if there's any after hours party at places in Boston anymore. There was Club Rise when I was younger, which was open at from like 1 to 7. And they didn't sell alcohol. They only sold Gatorade, and had a pitch black dance, dance upstairs at Lock with a DJ. And you can do your own math with all that. And that was a great time. And then, of course, the festivals with my friends and the, Oh, it's just, I miss the hell out of concerts, man, and I'm sure anyone who's listening to this does too, but sure enough, they'll be back soon, I hope. But, you know, what gave me some hope was, you know, I also miss stand-up comedy, you know, I love it. But Dave Chappelle came back with a vengeance the other day, because all comedies, you know, obviously right now we're in a pandemic, all comedy places cannot be open right now, so comedians are suffering on top of everyone else, can't make an income, you can't do their nightly routine of stand-up. However, Dave, as you may have heard in the interview with Matthew, I alluded to, he lives in basically like the part of Vermont that I live in, of Ohio, right? He lives on a farm in Ohio, so he can do whatever the hell he wants. So what he's did is he's got so much land, he could just set up a certain capacity of chairs to have his own comedy show. So what he did, I don't know, I'm sure you've seen it by now, but he did his first comedy routine in 83 days by setting it up at his house and inviting some people from wherever in the area. And, he spoke about the events that were going on in the world, you know, most eloquently, brilliantly put, that, you know, I could characterize it. If you haven't seen Dave Chappelle 846, you need to. And thank you, Ruth, for sending that. You are the shit. Like, you're the best. And, the city's been reopened, you know, on Monday. Hanover Street got the special treatment, they cut off, they have patio seating. Not sure what's going on with Newbury Street and Boylston Street yet, if you live in Boston, the North End is where all our Italian restaurants are located, and, if they take care of those restaurants. And, you know, there was also another incident in the North End the other evening. You know, there's been a lot of statue beheadings, as good statements around the world, you know, of people that just shouldn't have statues, you know, Confederate leaders in Virginia, you know, some European people that shouldn't have any statues whatsoever. And it's just like a movement. That's great that the beheading these people that shouldn't have a statue. But someone went up to Christopher Columbus, you know, the worthless slave trader. You know, a lot of people think he's a slave trader, someone beheaded him. And it wasn't in Lexington, Mass. It was in the North End of Boston, Massachusetts. And I haven't heard anything about the kid who did it, or the person who's done it yet. I hope he gets arrested first before someone else can find them there from the North End. But that was a bold, very bold statement to chop off Christopher Columbus's head. They actually removed the statue as well, completely. And if you're in the Boston area, if you remember the dinosaur from Route 1 that's still standing there from the old mini golf course, there's a petition to have the Christopher Columbus statue replaced with the dinosaur from Route 1. So look that up online and sign it, because that would be pretty fucking funny. We talked about the NBA last time, you know, how the owners and the Players Association, they came to an agreement about a little more than a week or so ago, it was a 22-0 vote to start the season and have that in the bubble in Orlando and be confined to a hotel and blah, 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 blah. Because there's the owners and then there's the NBA's Players Association. Chris Paul's the president, and then there's six vice presidents. Jaylen Brown, Malcolm Brogdon, Kyrie Irving somehow got elected, but we'll get to him in a second. And then three others that I just can't think of. And you know, after recent events, there started, you know, at the end of it, Kyrie had spoke up, because Kyrie, he already stirred up my Celtics. He's always disrupting some type of shit, but for once he's trying to do something good. And he usually sounds like someone on more acid than, you know, someone at Burning Man, but for once he's kind of making sense. He's telling the players to do a protest to sit out the season because of just the you know, systematic symbolism of being confined to a bubble for entertainment reasons. And when they're trying to get a message out there, and, you know, if they start playing basketball, the message is going to get diluted with other basketball news, you know, and it's not an essential thing right now. So I don't know. For once, Kyrie's making sense. He fucked up my Celtics, but, you know, that's gaining some steam, and that really stirred the pot, because now it's really starting to be in jeopardy, because a lot of players are getting on board with that idea after last week's kumbaya, 22-0. Let's get it started on July 31st in a bubble in Orlando. But then Kyrie Irving had to open his mouth, but made a little bit of sense for once. So, you know, it's going to be, you know, and they have other concerns. The players are starting to say, like, you know, not only going to be confined to a bubble and all that, but, you know, they're concerned about fair treatment of, you know, just regular role players compared to superstars like LeBron and all that. You know, everyone just wants to be treated fairly down there, and it's just because it's such a fuck situation. I completely understand their concerns. It's just funny that Kyrie's the one that stirs up the pot, as usual. And in other NBA news, I don't know if you knew this, but NCAA players, they get paid secretly to go play basketball. And Zion Williamson, the number one pick from last year, you know, seems like a real nice kid, but he's actually being sued by a manager that he signed with before he signed with a more prominent manager, agent, that represents actual NBA players. And now she's starting to air out their dirty laundry. It's like bringing up things in court, such as the $850 a month rental home that they're living in prior to Duke, and then the $950,000 home that they're living in while Zion was attending Duke. Because it's kind of a joke out there that Coach K, the Duke coach, he's in the duffel bag business. You know, it's no coincidence that all these star players are going to Duke to play for Coach K, you know, and then going straight to the NBA after 1 year, because there's that rule that they have to go for 1 year to college before they're able to be eligible for the NBA. So these kids, you know, they got everyone from every angle trying to, you know, get in their lives and pay them. So how can't they, you know, which is pretty ironic, because at the same time this week, Reggie Bush, who's about my age, I'm 33, and he just finally got reinstated into USC. 10 years ago, he basically did the same thing. He accepted gifts on the side, and they just, oh man, they killed USC. And I'm a UCLA guy, you know, like USC is like University of Spoiled Children to a lot of people. But they really screwed this program. They took away a bunch of their scholarships. They took away any eligibility for any championships, blah, blah, blah. That's why Pete Carroll went to the Seahawks, and they banned any association with Reggie Bush, in particular, with the university for 10 years. And that finally expired the other day. So it's, you know, that's pretty messed up, because he just basically, granted, he got a lot more than the average player, but, you know, he was doing something that every other player would be exposed to. So shout out to Reggie Bush, man. You know, now that he's retired from the NFL, he can do some stuff with the USC. Man, it's just like, I had to do this today. It's like, every day, you know, it's a crazy world out right now, man, you know, but every day is a present, you know, the present is a present, and, yeah, it's just, I didn't want to do this podcast today. I lost a good friend, a third good friend this year. I wanted to dedicate this to Rich McCall, and then Jake and Eric, and, I wanted to thank all of you for if you're still listening to this, except for Mac, of course. One love. I appreciate you all. I'll talk to you later on. Peace.